chapter 3. We'll read verses 7 through verse 14. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One of the reasons that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians was to exhort and encourage the saved to live Christ-centered lives, to live lives that would reflect and manifest Jesus Christ, encouraging them to live lives pursuing Christ, always moving in the direction of Christ. And in our text, by way of encouragement and motivation to live such a life, he gives testimony as to how he lives his own life. And he uses himself as an example. He uses himself as a teaching tool to instruct them and us in how to live the Christian life. Now, what we've just read includes a testimony of his salvation experience and also a testimony as to the life that he lived as a result of his salvation experience. We want to use these verses to establish a thought for a series which will be entitled Christianity is Christ. That's the name of the series. In this message, we want to notice in particular, verse 8, the words, the excellency of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And the subject tonight is the excellency of Jesus Christ. The point that we want to get across in this message is that Christianity and the Christian life is a personal realization of the excellency of Jesus Christ. Without that realization, without that awareness of the excellency of Christ, one cannot live. One will not live the Christian life. So the first thing we want to consider tonight is, what is Christianity? What is the Christian life? Contrary to the common perception, Christianity is not just a mere belief in Christ. It's not a mere belief that he is the Son of God. Christianity certainly involves that belief. One cannot live the Christian life without that belief, but it's not limited to our belief concerning Jesus Christ. There's many who I believe what the Scriptures teach concerning Christ, and they're not even saved. So again, Christianity is more than just a belief. Christianity is not merely a way of thinking, though Christianity does involve a very peculiar and very distinct thought process. It is much more. Christianity is not merely conviction. Christianity certainly involves convictions about many things, but it's much more than just a conviction. Christianity is not merely the teachings of Christ. Certainly involves the teachings of Christ, but it's more than that. It's not merely truth or the practice of truth. Christianity involves truth. Christianity involves the practice of truth. Can't have it without it. But it's much more than just the practice of truth. Christianity is not mere religion or church. I believe that Christianity does involve church, but Christianity is more than church. It's more than religion. Christianity is not merely following some biblical rules. Certainly includes that. You can't live the Christian life without following biblical rules. But you can follow biblical rules to some extent without being saved. So Christianity is more than following biblical rules. Christianity is not merely a commitment to the cause of Christ. Certainly involves that. Certainly, it's included in Christianity, but Christianity involves so much more. Christianity is not simply a behavior or a lifestyle. It involves a certain behavior, leads to a certain lifestyle, no question. But it's more than just a behavior or a lifestyle. Christianity is not merely living a life of morality. Certainly it involves morality, but it's much more than morality. Christianity is not merely separation from the world. Certainly includes separation from the world, but it's more. It's more than just a separation from the world. Christianity is not mere effort and energy. Certainly it involves effort. Certainly it involves energy. But it's more than that. Christianity is not merely hearing preaching or singing songs about the Lord. It involves that. I don't think you can really live the Christian life apart from those things. But it's much more. It's not merely some likes and dislikes. Certainly it includes likes and dislikes. But it's much more. It's not merely being for something or being against something. Though you can't live the Christian life without being for some things and against some things. But it's much more than that. Now, there are many who possess all of these things that we've mentioned, but that doesn't mean they're Christian. Doesn't mean that they are Christian. The terms Christianity and Christian are terms that are used very loosely, have been for a long time. So loosely that they have become almost meaningless as far as the world is concerned. As a result of that, the loose usage of the word Christianity or the word Christian There is a brand of Christianity that is anything but. A lot of things are called Christian that are not. A lot of things are identified with Christianity that are not. So now today we have a brand of Christianity that really wants nothing to do with this book. That's a farce. That's not Christianity. There's a brand of Christianity that offers just about everything but what is written in the Word of God. That's not Christianity. It's not Christian. There is a brand of so-called Christianity that argues with this book. True Christian doesn't argue with the Word of God. You may not understand it, but you don't argue with it as a Christian. There's a brand of Christianity that has ideas that are completely foreign to this book, and yet they claim to be Christian. There's a brand of Christianity that will even mock the Word of God, that outright opposes the Word of God. Such is not Christianity. Such is not Christian. Today there is a so-called brand of Christianity, and it's even in our fellowship, that is separate and apart from Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as Christianity apart from Jesus Christ. And there's no such thing as a Christian apart from Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ. They can't be separated. The truth is that Christianity and Christian are never separate, never apart from Christ. Whatever aspect you want to talk about, it is never separate and apart from Christ. There's no principle, there's no position of Christianity or being a Christian that is separate and apart from Jesus Christ. Again, Christianity is Christ. It's never anything short of Christ. Now, a lot of things are done in the name of Christ that really can't be done in the name of Christ, because they're contrary to what He teaches, contrary to His person. But Christ is the substance of the Christian life. He is the substance. He is the nature of the Christian life. He is the center of the Christian life. He is the meaning of the Christian life. Christ is the object of the Christian life. There are a lot of people who claim to live a Christian life, and yet Christ is nowhere near being the object of that life. He's the object of that life. He's the purpose of the Christian life. People have all kinds of purposes for living a so-called Christian life. One may do it for business purposes. Christ is the purpose of the Christian life. He is the controlling, the dominating influence of the Christian life. You cannot claim to live the Christian life if He is not the dominating influence, if He is not the purpose. Christ is the passion of the Christian life. Christianity, the very word, implies a passion for Christ. The word Christian implies a passion for Christ. We're not talking about a passion for a creed, a passion for a doctrine, though we ought to be passionate for doctrinal truth. But you can be passionate for doctrinal truth and still not be Christian. It has to be a passion for Christ. Christianity is Christ. Christ is the goal of Christianity. That's made plain here in Philippians 3. Paul pressing toward the mark. He is the aim of the Christian life. And again, he is the very meaning of the Christian life. So again, we say Christianity is Christ. Now, as obvious as that is, or should be, many that are truly saved, I believe, have lost sight of the fact that Christianity is Christ. I believe there are saved people who have lost sight of that fact. And Christianity is not, or Christ is not, the main aspect of their Christianity. It's amazing what people will separate over, even in our fellowship. It's astounding. What people will separate over outside of Jesus Christ. They've lost sight of the fact that Christianity is Christ. They've lost sight of that. You don't wear a head covering, therefore I'm not going to have any fellowship with you. You've lost sight of the fact that Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not a head covering. And I've just picked that out of the air. There's many other places we could go. But Christianity is Christ. But many have lost sight of that. And it is brought out very clearly here in the book of Philippians that Christianity is Christ. The theme of the letter is Jesus Christ. And what is the theme of Christianity? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the theme of Christianity. In the book of Philippians, we see the word Jesus Christ 10 times. The words Christ Jesus 8 times. The word Christ by itself, other than Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus by itself, the word Christ 19 times. And the words Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. It is a Christ-centered letter. And he's talking about Christianity. He's talking about Christian living. Jesus Christ is the center of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the center of the Christian life. And throughout the book of Philippians, or the letter of to Philippians, Paul speaks of his life as it relates to Jesus Christ. And in Christianity, in the Christian life, everything, and I mean everything, relates to Christ, because Christ is the center of Christianity. Now, there's a lot of things today in so-called Christianity that it would be quite a stretch to say that it relates to Jesus Christ. There are a lot of attitudes, there are a lot of spirits. It would be a far, far stretch to say that those attitudes and spirit relates in any way to Jesus Christ. Throughout history, it's pretty bad, the things that have been done in the name of Christ. It's still true today. So throughout the letter, and in particular the verses we read for our text, we see the heart, we see the feelings, the mindset, the determination, and the devotion of Paul. It was Christ. It was Christ. His heart was for Christ. His feelings were about Christ. His mindset, his determination, his devotion, it was all Christ. And that's Christianity. Christianity is Christ. So as we read the letter, and in particular the text, We see Paul, a man filled with aspirations for Christ. That's Christianity. We see a man filled with a hunger and a thirst and eagerness toward Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. A lot of things can be done in the name of Christianity without an aspiration for the person, Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ. Throughout the letter, in particular our text, we see that the passion and intensity of Paul's life was Christ. Again, it was the controlling and the dominating factor in his life. And such is Christianity. Such is being a Christian. So we get some idea of what Christianity is. We could preach a whole series of messages just on that. But secondly, notice Paul's testimony of salvation. It occurs in verses 4 through 8. And in those verses, there is a very significant statement regarding salvation, regarding his salvation, regarding our own salvation. As you read those verses, you see it's Paul's own testimony regarding the fact that when he savingly met Jesus Christ, there was a dramatic attitude shift that occurred in his mind concerning Jesus Christ. The event of Paul's salvation, of course, is recorded in Acts chapter 9. Particularly verses 1 through 5. We'll not take the time to go there. Most here are very familiar with the account. But what we read here in verses 3, or chapter 3, verses 4 through 8 of our text, takes us into the very heart of a sinner at salvation. There may be different circumstances, but it's basically the same. What takes place in the heart, and it regards Christ. Now, in these verses, Paul views the matter of salvation from the perception of a transaction or an exchange. The heart of this is in verse 7 and 8. What things were gained to me, that is, before I was saved, the things I considered to be gain, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, I moved them from the profit column to the loss column. Moved them from the profit column to the debit column. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, the things that I've lost, that I may win or that I may gain Christ. So let's look at Paul's thinking prior to salvation. Verses 4 through 6. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And then he says, but what things were gained to me? That all of those things he considered to be spiritual credits before he was saved. So by way of background, We have to remember that the Philippians were being assaulted by a group of people known as Judaizers, same people that were attacking the churches of Galatia as well. These were Jewish people, of course, who believed in Christ to some degree, but they also believed in order to be saved, it requires Christ, but in addition to that, you had to be physically circumcised and keep all the laws of Moses. In other words, they believed and practiced Christ plus. Christ plus. And the church of Philippi was under the influence of these Judaizers. These Judaizers were imposing this Christ plus theology upon these Philippian believers. And may I say, these Judaizers are not dead. There's still a lot of people that believe Christ plus. I believe there's people in our fellowship that believe that. I listen to them talk. They believe Christ plus. They'll make such statements as, well, they can't be saved. They do that. That's a Judaizer. Christ plus. They can't be saved unless they agree with me, is what it boils down to. It's Christ plus. Judaizers are everywhere. And they don't have to be Jewish. Paul warns of these in verse 2. He says, beware of dogs. He's talking about these Judaizers. Beware of evil workers. They're evil. Anybody who preaches Christ plus is evil. Beware of the concision. And the concision there is mutilation. It's circumcision, but it wasn't done properly. It's basically mutilation. So Paul warns of these. And then beginning in verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So he says three things about the Judaizers in verse 2, and then he says three things about true believers in verse 3. And in verse 3, Paul is beginning to anticipate the reaction of these Judaizers. And that's what brings us to verses 4 through verse 6. And as you read verses 4 through 6, he's not talking in an egotistical manner. What he is saying is for the sake of argument to these Judaizers. He is saying, I know what it is to be a Jew. In the highest sense of the term, I know what it is. And he says, and yet I deliberately, knowingly, willingly abandoned it all for Jesus Christ. That occurred at salvation. That's when that occurred. So before salvation, Paul viewed several things as religious credits. None of them have any saving power. Lost people have all kinds of things that they view as spiritual credits. There is no such thing outside of Jesus Christ. There are Baptists who believe in spiritual credits. It's all in Christ. You have no credit outside of Jesus Christ. You have nothing outside of Jesus Christ. So let's look at what Paul's thinking was before he, again, he, this is the way he thought before he was saved. In verse 5, he says, I was circumcised the eighth day. What he's saying is, I had ritual. I was born into the Jewish faith, and I followed the rituals of that faith from the very beginning, from the eighth day. I was a follower of spiritual ritual. Didn't save them. And spiritual ritual isn't Christianity either. We see also there was race, verse 5. He says, I was of the stock of Israel. Didn't save them. There was rank. Verse 5 again, he says, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. The two greatest tribes were Judah and Benjamin. And Paul says, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. The two most elite tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And prior to his salvation, in his ignorance, he saw this rank, being of the tribe of Benjamin, has a religious credit. Many look at today, being a member of one of the Lord's churches has a religious credit. Christianity is Christ. Being a member of any church does not save your soul. And it doesn't make you Christian either. Christianity is Christ. Now, I'm not saying it's not a part of Christianity. There was tradition. Notice also verse 5. An Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. What's that mean? Well, he's saying, I'm a Hebrew child of Hebrew parents. He's looking at these prior to salvation. These were, in his mind, all spiritual credits. In other words, I have maintained my family tradition. Didn't save them. Didn't make them Christian either. The mere maintaining of family tradition does not make you a Christian. I have been faithful and personally committed to the religion of my parents, is what he's saying there. It's not a religious credit, not a spiritual credit. There was religion, verse 5, as touching the law, a Pharisee. The highest level of religious achievement in Judaism. He says, I reached the highest level of my religion. But that didn't save him, did it? And you can reach the highest level, whatever that is, in a Baptist church that will not save your soul. Nor does it mean that you are saved. Nor does it even mean that you live the Christian life. Christianity is Christ. Verse 6, there was zeal or sincerity. He said, concerning zeal persecuting the church, he was zealous for his religion. Zealous in his convictions. Zealous in his beliefs. Didn't save him. There was outward righteousness. Verse 6, he says, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. He is saying, I had righteous works. It didn't save him. So Paul, prior to salvation, viewed all of these things as spiritual credits. Ritual. Race, rank, tradition, religion, sincerity, acts of righteousness. Before salvation, he had all of these things in the prophet column. And the world is filled with those who think they have spiritual credits. And I dare say there's some in our fellowship who think the same. That they have some spiritual credits. Let me tell you something. God was not impressed with any of those things. And He still isn't. Christianity is Christ. So that was his thinking prior to salvation. All of these things were gained to me. That brings us to our third point. And that is his thinking changed at salvation. Verse 7, he says, but what things? Ritual, race, rank, tradition, religion, religious sincerity, acts of righteousness. What things were gain? Those things that I put in the profit column. What things were gain to me? Those very things I counted loss for Christ. Paul is saying at salvation, just prior to salvation, I esteemed all of those things as spiritual credits. But at salvation, I saw it differently. I esteemed all those things as rubbish in comparison to Jesus Christ. Now remember on that Damascus road in Acts 9 verse 5, Jesus appeared to Saul at the time, and said what? I am Jesus. I am Jesus. And I believe that that stuck with Paul the rest of his life. I am Jesus. He saw Christ that day. And all those other things that he thought were spiritual credits was dung. It was dung. I am Jesus. There are many people who profess salvation who have never experienced I am Jesus. And there are many that are saved that have gotten over I am Jesus. And they've brought things that at one time was they considered in the prophet column before they were saved. When the Lord saved them, they moved them over to the debit column, but sometime since they've moved them back over to the prophet column. And that's what gives us the self-righteous group that we have today. They have a spiritual credit column, and it has nothing to do with Christ. If they're saved, they've lost sight of I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Again, Paul came to realize that salvation was not by spiritual ritual, ceremony, or routine, but that salvation was by Jesus Christ. He was brought to the realization that salvation was not by race. It's not by the family you're born into. Well, my mom was a Christian. My dad was saved. My dad was a deacon. My dad was a pastor. What's your point? What's that got to do with you? Nothing. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing at all. But people, well, my dad was brother so-and-so. What's your point? What they're saying is, I have some spiritual credit. No, you don't. Not outside of Christ, you don't. You don't have anything. Paul was brought to realize that salvation is not by rank. It's by Christ. Paul was brought to realize that salvation is not by religious tradition. It's by Christ. He was brought to realize that salvation is not by religion. It is by Christ. He was brought to realize that salvation is not by religious sincerity or outward acts of righteousness. It's by Jesus Christ. And all of these religious, ritual, race, rank, spiritual tradition, religion, religious sincerity, and outward acts of righteousness, again, they did not impress God, and they still don't. A lot of people are impressed. A lot of people are impressed with themselves because of their so-called spiritual credits. But God isn't impressed. God is impressed by Jesus Christ. And we're only accepted in Jesus Christ. So, these religious spiritual credits, they still don't impress. Paul knew that when it came to his salvation, it was Christ. He never got past those three words, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. When he saw Christ and heard Jesus say, I am Christ, all of those things in his credit column became loss. And that happens to every sinner that's saved. Maybe not to the same degree as Paul, not to the same degree as all of us, but that transaction takes place in salvation. Because if you're here and lost, you are depending on something. You may not even know what it is, but you're depending on something. And it's not Christ. And outside of Christ, there is no salvation. Lastly, and we'll hurry, this truth, salvation is by Christ. We're talking about Christianity is Christ. This truth, salvation is by Christ, has to be carried over into life. So Paul had all these spiritual credits in his mind. The Lord saves his soul. And those things which were gained to me, suddenly they're in the debit column. And what's in the credit problem or column is what? Christ. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. That's the only thing I can put in a credit column. Christ. That attitude is now carry over into the life that I live. Paul in Colossians 3 verse 11, speaking with regard to salvation, declared, Christ is all. Christ is all. Paul learned that truth in salvation. Christ is all. The day the Lord saved our souls, every one of us learned that truth, that Jesus Christ was all in our salvation. One may become of the Arminian persuasion, but I'm telling you, if they were ever saved, the moment they were saved, they knew that Christ was all, that Christ did it. They've gotten mixed up in their theology since, but they knew that day that Christ is all. Having learned that at salvation, we're now to carry it over into living our life. Christ is all. Many a saved people have forgotten this truth. Christ is all. I'm not saying that nothing else matters. We already mentioned all the things that are involved in Christianity. But it all relates to Christ. It all relates to Christ. So Christianity is not rooted in mere ritual, or the family you were born into, or your religious social strata. It's not in tradition. It's not in religion. It's not even in spiritual sincerity. It's not in mere acts of righteousness. It's rooted to Christ. That's true of my salvation. That is to be true of my life as well. Salvation was not Christianity plus, and Christianity is not Christianity plus. It's Christ. It's Christ. At salvation, we saw an excellency. That's what Paul speaks of in verse 8. We saw an excellency in Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ excelled everything we had in our spiritual credit column. That must be carried over into Christianity. You can be a member of a sound New Testament Baptist church and still lose sight of Jesus Christ. You can worship every Sunday and every Wednesday and still lose sight of Jesus Christ. You can read this book and lose sight of Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ. Paul said to the Galatians, again, who were under the same influence of the Judaizers, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him." Galatians 1, verse 6. "I marvel that you're so soon removed from truth." That's not what he said. Him. Him. And you become removed from Christ in your thinking. You can call it Christianity if you want to, but it's not. You become removed from Christ in your thinking. Your whole life is twisted. Everything about your life is twisted. And that is the condition of many a child of God. They have been removed from Christ. I'm talking about in their thinking. They think of other things that are more important than Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ. Nothing was more important in your salvation than Jesus Christ. And so it is in the Christian life. It's Him. It's about Him. It's about a person. Jesus Christ. God help us not to have a brand of Christianity that is apart from Jesus Christ. God help us not to adopt. You may be truly saved, but you still can adopt a false brand of Christianity. And I believe a lot of people have. All you have to do is see what they post, see what they tweet, see what they text, listen to them talk. They don't have the same brand of Christianity that I read of. Somewhere in their thinking, if they're saved, they've gotten away from Christ. And that brand of Christianity is a farce. It's counterfeit. God help us. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse 1.